You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
The changing of sunlight to moonlight, reflections of my life. Oh, how they fill my eyes.
The greetings of people in trouble, reflections of my life.
Oh, how they fill my eyes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC, this Saturday evening, June the 27th. Since our time together last week, I turned 40 years old, so this would be, we'll see if I'm a little wiser tonight.
The big 4-0.
That's right. Hence the song, the changing of sunlight to moonlight and all of that good stuff. That is a great song, and it's a great time to be reflective. I will have now spent parts of three different decades behind this chair and behind this microphone, of course, starting this program when I was 24 back in 2004, throughout the entirety of my 30s, and now my first week as a enter into a new decade. So
a senior citizen.
Hey, listen, folks, I want to tell you again, thank you so much for the absolutely incredible outpouring of love and affection, cards from three different continents, birthday wishes, email, Twitter messages, letters, text messages, phone calls. Really, really, really makes a guy feel special. I am so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for the community of listeners that we have built and cultivated together throughout the course of the last 16 years. I still have a ton of fight left in me. And with that being said, we will get started tonight. James Edwards here, Keith Alexander, and the world has gone mad. That's for sure. We're going to look at the psychology behind that condition that has led some whites to actively cheer for their own demise. We'll be talking about that with Dr. Kevin McDonald in the second hour. So stay tuned for that. And as a matter of fact, it's been a pretty interesting way we have been unpacking these things over the course of the last 4 weeks throughout the month of June with regards to the rioting and the insurrection. We started that off on June 6th, the first broadcast of this month, from the perspective of a former law enforcement officer, Jim Lancia, looking at the law enforcement reaction to this. The week after that, Mark Weber and David Duke from a cultural perspective. Last week, Jesse Lee Peterson and Pastor Brett McAtee from a family and faith perspective. And then tonight, Dr. Kevin McDonald from a psychological perspective. So we're trying to look at this from all of the different angles. But I say again, Keith, and I said it last week, and I think I said it perhaps even the week before that. If anything, the events of the past few weeks in this country have proven to me more than ever before, more than at any time in my life, that we have been absolutely right about everything. We have been right about everything, so at least we have that to go on. We were right about climate change. You know, we are enjoying, it's hot today, but a relatively mild summer. We were talking about the sunspots and how this cycle is transitioning. And Virginia Abernathy was talking to me about that back last winter, and certainly it's begun to unfold exactly the way she said. Nick Griffin brought it up a few weeks ago as well. We were right about the coronavirus. Now, of course, they're pivoting back to that. We were right about racial realities. We've been right about it all. And we'll continue to be right about it tonight and next week and the week after that. Keith?
I really wonder what is driving this. Is this one of those phenomena that we talk about that's a mile wide and an inch deep? Somebody really is driving this kind of mass hysteria that we seem to be experiencing at this point in time. And I'm wondering if it's just a small group that is in a strategic position, because we're mentioning this in before the show tonight. There are all sorts of people that probably, there are all sorts of people that, as I see it, are not really affected by this one way or another. But if you listen to the newscasts, if you listen to the national news, if you listen to your local news, all you get is wall-to-wall coverage of Black Lives Matter and Antifa and monument desecrations, and now The Guardian, the liberal newspaper of the United Kingdom, England, is saying that monuments aren't enough. They're going to have to start tearing down edifices, buildings that reflect, let's say, the antebellum period in America, like Greek Revival architecture and stuff like this. It's like nothing is satisfactory. We've got this Jacobin spirit going everywhere, everywhere in our society. And, you know, I'm wondering, is this a mass psychosis? You know, I wonder if the next dermatological or cosmetic trend or fad is going to be white people darkening their skins so they do not look like they're white anymore. You've already got the Kardashians suggesting that you, rather than getting boob jobs, you get behind jobs, you know, so that you have a larger derriere if you're a woman, again, because that is the preferred look of black people if you listen to, you know, culture, you know, barometers around here, people that actually, you know, keep up with things like this. But this is, you know, the one thing that it has come through to me is that there's nothing white people can do to turn down the volume on all this. In fact, it's like throwing a log on the fire. You're just building the fire with every concession that corporate America is making. Like, look at the money that Black Lives Matter is getting. Antifa's not getting it, but Black Lives Matter, I mean, they're getting, I would imagine it's up around $100 million of money from various corporations.
More than that. Yeah.
Yeah, really. You know, it's just, this is a bonanza, and it's all race-driven. And, of course, that's what cultural Marxism is all about. The cultural Marxists said that Marx and Engels were wrong to imagine that the primary fault line in human society was economic class, you know, the proletariat versus the bourgeoisie. Instead, and it's not even religion, it's race. That's what cultural Marxism is based on, and let me tell you, they're following their script to a T. This is the one factor that seems to drive everybody crazy. And it is certainly driving all of the news cycles that we're seeing in the last month at least.
Speaking of the news cycle again, and I mentioned it just a moment ago, now the coronavirus is back in a big way in the news. They had to quit talking about it while the riots were at a fever pitch because, God forbid, they do anything to the media do anything to suppress this further dispossession of whites. But the media has been telling us all year that any gathering of 10 or more people is potentially deadly. But the virus cannot, however, they tell us, be spread amongst unruly mobs of thousands who are engaging in arson, looting, and vandalism. So you got it. This virus can actually pick based upon your political beliefs.
All mobs are not alike.
There's a hierarchy of virtue
in mobs.
I've never bought into the coronavirus threat, but it's pretty astonishing to know that the healthcare industry is just as corrupt and dishonest as all of the other institutions. We'll be right back.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The world
is a bad place,
a terrible place to live. Oh, but I don't wanna die. All my sorrow, sad tomorrow.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here at TPC. So as I was saying, and I tried to very quickly speed up my delivery to shoehorn it in before the break, but what I was saying was, and it should be repeated for point of emphasis, I've never bought into the coronavirus threat. I didn't buy into it. I do believe there may, certainly not entirely sure about that, but there may be a new cold or upper respiratory illness that is spreading around that people may be getting. It's certainly not particularly deadly, killing 1 or 2%, most of those being very old or people with underlying comorbidities. But I've never bought into it. But it's pretty astonishing to know that the healthcare industry is just as corrupt and dishonest and slavishly devoted to cultural Marxism, political correctness, as government, academia, churches, media, etc.
No objectivity anywhere.
Well,
anymore.
I'm just saying, you know, you can't have any gatherings, but they were completely dead silent during all the height of the rioting. And now that that's starting to taper down a little bit, well, now it's back that, oh, all of these states are having these record numbers. We gotta get back. We're going to do shutdowns. We got to go taper down the phasing and go back. I don't know what they're trying to pull. It is possible that they're doing it just to get rid of Trump. But of course, Keith, other than saying some things that we certainly like on occasion, he's absolutely done nothing, and nor have the Republicans. This just in, the state of Mississippi in a very special Saturday session, both chambers, the House and the Senate of the state of Mississippi, have now voted to remove the Confederate emblem from the state flag. The Republican Party has a supermajority in both down there. So the Republicans are to blame. The so-called conservative Republicans are to blame for what happened in Mississippi. Obviously, that's very sad. But what do you do except stand up, tell the truth, and move forward? It's their mistake to make. That flag will always fly on my wall and at my home. And other people are free to make horrible decisions. But there's no amount of cucking, no amount of capitulation that is going to curry you favor. I saw Russell Moore just tweeted out that he was crying because he was so happy that his home state voted to remove the flag. Well, guess what, Russ? If they run into you, if these people who hate you, they hate you. They don't see you and say, oh, that's Russell Moore. He's the biggest cuck on the planet. No, they'll see you or your children or your wife, and they will see white skin, and that's going to be the game for you, Brother Keith.
Well, what this is showing is that middle American whites are leaderless. There is no leader. You can keep voting Republican till the cows come home. You can keep supporting Trump. You can keep supporting any of your local representatives or senators or whatnot. You won't get one of those people to stand up for the interests of white people. Nobody that will push back on the leftist agenda. The leftist agenda doesn't have a break anymore. It certainly doesn't have a reverse gear, and it certainly doesn't even have a break now. There's not even token opposition to this craziness. And, you know, I'm hoping that, for example, in Mississippi, they had all of the Division I coaches, the coach for Ole Miss, the coach for Mississippi State, the coach for University of Southern Mississippi, all of these people showing up at the Capitol building in Jackson, Mississippi, showing their solidarity and support for changing the Mississippi flag, which had a Confederate emblem in the upper left-hand corner. Well, let me tell you, I think it would be just desserts for all these, and then we're all getting these black athletes coming up to the plate telling us how they're not going to play unless we succumb to this. That whatever demand they have, the demand du jour, they're going to withhold their marvelous talents from our spectating eyes if we don't cave in. Well, wouldn't it be nice if, because of this coronavirus, there is no football season this year or no basketball season? I'll tell you what, it would be a blessed relief to me to stop seeing these preening fools up there. And when are the white people, how far can they go? Are they going to ask you to sacrifice your children on the, altar of Moloch or something before white people push back? But white people will not push back. White people are just, they're in a headlong stampede to go over the cliff.
This is the point, and this is the point, and this is your point, is that there is no political or economic price to pay for offending the majority. The majority of people in Mississippi, if it went to another statewide referendum, it very well would probably pass to keep the flag as it is. But the problem is, all of the people who would like to see the flag stay as it is, they're not going to organize and speak out as their enemies do, because there would be a price to pay. And I'm not saying that that price is illegitimate. A lot of people will lose their jobs if they stood up and spoke out. So you can't apply political pressure if you can't stand up and speak
that's
out.
That's why we have a secret ballot in America, and that was always an essential part of our government. Now, if you have a secret ballot, nobody knows what you voted when you go into the privacy of that voting booth. But, you know, white people have succumbed so much to psychological conditioning from the left now that I believe that they are even controlled in the privacy of the voting booth.
Well, look, here's the thing, and we're going to talk about the psychological conditioning, and if this pathological altruism that Dr. McDonald talks so much about, is it something genetic? Is it a genetic trait that they've tapped into, or is it psychological? Is it something in our thinking? But I want to say this about what we've seen lately. You can burn down a Wendy's if you're a Black Lives Matter terrorist in multiple states, and Wendy's will give you money. Violence works for them. It will not work for you. It will not work for the right side, the traditionalist side, because the laws would be enacted, nor would we advocate for anyone to go out and break those laws. But in any event, it will not work. But it does work for them. So they can stand up and speak out and apply pressure, whatever kind of pressure they want, up to and including arson and looting and vandalism and everything else.
And all of these
corporations capitulate.
Well, the white executives that are doing this, they're living in a dream world. You know what? They're not going to be happy until they're replaced with a black person, and they're not going to be replaced until white people are totally dispossessed of any position of power or authority in America.
We got a caller very quickly before we go to break. John in California. John, you're on.
Hello, sir. I'm kind of surprised you used the word psychological conditioning. Well, maybe not so surprised. I've spoken to you in the past about the psychological adjustment. Think back when Eisenhower was being raised, or the previous generation of World War II, they didn't go under these psychological conditionings that we have now. That had to come at some point. Again, I've stressed this to you, and it's in the Encyclopedia of the American Constitution. The psychological adjustment of men's minds and actions to the unfamiliar and the unpleasant. Brown versus Board of Education, Felix Frankfurter. Exactly. And when he wrote those words, he only had whites in mind. They're all in the process of encroaching on our community, on our psychology, and nobody's doing nothing to them, and we're getting pushed further and further back into the corner, and that's because of the breakdown in leadership. You can't tell me Eisenhower wasn't anything like these Republicans we have now. That's for sure. At least he had a set of stones. The rest of these cats don't. I'll give Trump a little bit of credit, because if Biden goes in there and Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies, then you got another liberal on the court. Just because of that reason alone, Trump's got to get reelected. But it's
hey, listen, I am with you on that. I mean, Trump has been a major disappointment, but I certainly hope he beats Biden. Thank you for the call, John Keith. Well, we're going to break.
I'll go to break, and then when we come out of the break, I want to comment on John's comment.
And John is correct, and I know you, John, and I appreciate your correspondence over the years, and thank you for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The fight continues for the end of police brutality. U.S. Senator Joni Ernst believes that mayors of cities with autonomous zones are not doing their jobs.
They're not trying to find solutions with racial injustice. They're not sitting down and having those dialogues. They're just allowing anarchists to take over in these zones. What about all of those other residents and business owners? They really are suffering through this.
Senator Ernst is introducing a bill that would defund cities that allow for autonomous zones. In New York, hundreds of protesters camped outside City Hall. The protesters are part of a national movement that seeks to regulate police, hoping for more spending on other needs like housing and education. Police officials have warned that the budget cut is coming at a time when the city has seen a surge in shootings during the first 3 weeks in June. This is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
One governor is reevaluating part of his plan to reopen his state's economy. USA's Kenneth Burns has more.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says looking back, he would have slowed down the reopening of bars.
Now seeing in the aftermath of how quickly the coronavirus spread in the bar setting, and you know how a bar setting in reality just doesn't work with a pandemic. People go to bars to get close and to drink and to socialize.
Abbott, speaking to television station KVIA, said the data looked good when they decided to reopen the state's economy. Now he says the state's obligation is to take measured steps to slow the spread of the coronavirus. There are now more than 5,000 people in the hospital in the Lone Star State because of coronavirus.
A judge has told longtime Trump ally Roger Stone that he cannot wait till September to do his prison time due to COVID-19. The judge said he must report by July 14th. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to toss it back to Keith so he can respond to the point caller John from California was making. But let me tell you this. Even in light of the unfortunate news out of the state of Mississippi, a state that I love above all others, even though I was born in Tennessee, I'm proud of Tennessee. I'm proud to be a Tennessean, proud to be a Southerner, a Confederate state, just the same. But I love Mississippi, and it's sad what happened down there tonight. But I will tell you this. We will not go out this way. This is not how our story will end. I believe that, ladies and gentlemen, tonight with every fiber of my being. And it may be a situation where, God forbid, it doesn't happen in our lifetimes. Maybe we will have to go through a situation like the Spanish did when they were under Muslim occupation for hundreds of years. I don't know how long it's going to take or when it will happen. But our people will rise again to fight one day. And until they do, we will be here. And we will be here without apology and without retreat. And we will never let you down. We will never stop fighting for you. No matter what happens in the world, you have this little oasis that we're able to provide you thanks to your support. Folks, we love you. We need you. We need to stand together. You can continue to look to TPC to be a beacon of light in a world of darkness. And I'm so proud we can do that. For what it's worth, we will continue to hopefully encourage you come what may. Keith, a quick response to the point the caller made, and then we got to keep going.
I thought I was going to have 2 minutes. Let me just tell you.
No, you got 2 minutes.
Okay. Here's the situation. The Citadel has now fallen. Mississippi, of all places, has now fallen to the left. This is like the fall of Constantinople in 1453 to the Ottoman Turks. This was the last, stronghold of traditional American white consciousness in America, and now it seems to have fallen. As again, it's just like we said, where are the leaders for the white race? There are no leaders for the white race.
Well, there are. We just don't have a very big microphone.
Well, the thing is, we cannot get elected, and the people that are getting elected are being elected specifically because they're sellouts and cowards. That's what's happening. John was absolutely right when he said that Brown versus Board of Education is key. We've said this on our Brown versus Board of Education broadcast every year, which is generally the one nearest to May the 17th, Black Monday, as it was called when the Brown decision was handed down. It was so bad because this is where the left got their foothold into elementary primary education, and they've used that foothold just as the opponents of Brown at the time feared they would, to psychologically condition and brainwash our children. We have two generations now, Gen Xers and Millennials, that have been so corrupted with this that they're out there against all common sense and against their own interests, supporting Black Lives Matter. What did that get to the what benefit do they get from it? There's a white Antifa guy that was killed in the nation of Chaz, that little cordoned off area in
Seattle.
I mean,
just listen to what you're saying. I mean, this is how absurd.
this is what
the line has gotten.
Yeah, it's and what's happening is exactly what T.S. Eliot predicted, prophesied in his poem, The Hollow Men. This is the way the world will end, not with a bang, but a whimper. You can try to appease, you can bend the knee, you can bend down, you can shine their shoes like Dan Cathy of the Chick-fil-A.
Russell Moore.
Russell Moore, all these people. Guess what? It's not going to buy you dispensation. That's just going to be a Stalinist show trial, and it will end with the hanging of people like that by the left. The left is not entertaining any dispensation. They are... The one thing that I'm glad of that has come out of the last several months is the white-hot hatred that the left and their minions have for traditional white Americans. They hate you with a faith that is pure and true. Their hatred for you burns with a gem-like flame, and they are coming after you and everything about you. What would you not give? Where would you draw the line? If they wanted you to sacrifice one of your children to the left because it's we've got too many white children coming up or something like this, would you do that?
What do you think would Russell Moore would do? What would you think Russell Moore would do?
He'd say, well, I'll give you one child, but I'll spare the other two. And then they'll come back later on for the other two.
I don't think he would be that stout-hearted.
Yeah, I mean, this
is... Hey, well, you only want one? Let me give you two.
Well, look, Russell Moore's not going to have any children, so don't worry
well,
about
he's
that.
Got them, unfortunately.
Yeah,
God
I don't know how
him.
He did. It must have been artificial insemination. But let me tell you, this is a crazy world we're living in. And we've got a ringside seat here, and right. We will continue to speak up for common sense, regardless of what the rest of the world does.
You have got, I have come across. I'm glad this. I've got to take a picture of my show notes tonight, ladies and gentlemen. There are so many chicken scratches, and I'm looking at it right now, and I can't even read where we were supposed to go because so many we've already deviated from it so radically. We didn't know the situation in Mississippi was going to manifest itself tonight. I've got the regular notes. I've got some stuff highlighted. I've got red Sharpie. I've got blue Sharpie. I want to post this to the – well, I don't know if I can post it because it's got Kevin McDonald's phone number on it. Well, maybe I can blot that out. Anyway, what I'm saying is I found a new commentator this week who has just been fantastic. He comes at it from a Christ-centered perspective. His name is Eric Conn, C-O-N-N, and I retweeted a couple of things from him at the top of my timeline. Anyway, Eric Conn, and he has just wrote some masterful stuff about what's going on in the churches, which is something that, of course, is near and dear to our heart. He talks about we are going to have hard men. Only dominant, masculine men will be able to deliver our people, and you will not find them. And the leadership of this – look, if you're the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention and you're crying tears of joy tonight because the flag of your father, a Christian cross, and that is what the Confederate flag is, it is a Christian cross, you're crying tears of joy because that symbol is coming down, you're not a hard man. You're the exact opposite of that. You've got hard men here. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have not supported the work of this program this month in our second quarter fundraising drive – please do. Now more than ever, we have to be together.
Well, you know, they're going after Christ himself now. Sean King, one of
Martin
Luther King's sons, says that Jesus was a racist. We cannot have these pictures of Jesus and the disciples.
Because they look like they might have been more white-skinned than light-skinned.
We're going to have to expunge everything, change all those texts, burn all those books.
The church is all for it, the so-called church.
Yeah, well, see, our church... Everything, every institution is now decidedly anti-white. And unless you hate yourself, if you're a white person, it's time for us to push back. We've got to figure out some way to get people into office that will fearlessly protect us. We have no protection right now. The Republican Party is leaving the door
unlocked. That is what I've always said, though. You got... the true believers on one side and the true believers on the other, everybody else will take the path of least resistance. And if you can apply the most pressure, everybody's going to be a true believer in your message. And we've lost the ability to be able to steer society and culture because there's no price to be paid. There's no penalty to be paid for being a traitor to your own people,
and
to your own family.
What is the benefit? What's the benefit, on the other hand, for selling out your
own
people?
A lot.
Well, you think so. But then look at that guy that was shot and killed up in Seattle.
Yeah, okay, but I mean, I'm just
you
talking
know,
about for these politicians.
The thing is, you're living in a fairyland dream world if you think that somehow by doing this, by feeding the crocodile won't eat you eventually. In fact, by being the one like that guy in Seattle that feeds the crocodile, you're more than likely to, you're probably going to be one of the first ones eaten by the crocodile.
You're talking about some obscure... person who ingested this poison and he got shot. Yes, that's true. You're right. But what I'm saying is
he would never have been there to be shot if he did not think that
right,
somehow.
But he had no power. I mean, he's just a lackey. What I'm talking about is, you know, these corporations and Rich Hamblin's right. I mean, what happened in Mississippi? That's what happens when the Chamber of Commerce is in control. If these corporations, they have a price to pay, they think, if they go against us, because the media is going to come down on them. God forbid the stockholders have to, deal with that embarrassment. And so all of these corporations, though, all of these institutions, they would be singing our tune if there was a price to pay if they didn't. And that's all there is to it. So if and when the levers of power turn, all of these cucks are going to fall in line, because that's what they are. They're conformists. They're weak. They're soft men. We need hard men. And there are hard days to come.
I sent you a copy of something that I was sent over the internet about the Mercedes-Benz dealership in Oakland, California being burnt down by
Black Lives Matter. Well, and the Mercedes-Benz dealership in Oakland, California probably gave $1 million bounty to Black Lives Matter after they burned.
Well, see, somehow, you know, the ignorance is stupefying of these people. All they're doing by giving that money is telling them, we have plenty of money to give. They'll be back for more extortion money later.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks. Like I said, we have totally butchered the outline that we had even 30 minutes before the show. Keith and I were laying out the agenda tonight about a half hour before he went on the air, and we've totally deviated from that because, well, it's live radio, and it is a fluid situation. The situation in Mississippi we didn't know about until the show started, which actually I think took place about 20 minutes before
the show
started.
I wonder when the Mississippi legislature is going to decree that we all have to turn in our guns.
Well, but look here. Yeah, that's right. That's next. They come for the flag. They're going to come for guns. They're going to come for your freedom. But here, you know, the thing about Mississippi is there is no major city in Mississippi. Jackson, Mississippi would be the biggest, and it ain't all that big. So you're talking about rural white, quote-unquote, conservative Republicans. This is what they give you, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll tell you this. A lot of whites are waking up. Has Tucker Carlson been reading Racism Schmacism? That's the question we asked this week. A very dear friend of ours, and well, he was in Arkansas at the time. Now he's back in Tennessee, but he mailed a copy of my book some weeks ago to Tucker Carlson. On a recent broadcast this week, Tucker caught up to my book and very nearly recited some of my passages when he commented on the narrative that now all whites are racist by definition. Now, I am not saying that Tucker actually read the book. It is entirely possible that he did.
But
it wasn't
prophetic. This was how many years ago?
Ten years ago. It actually came out in June
of
2010.
Now your prediction has become reality.
All whites are by definition racist. So did Tucker ever actually read my book? Nobody can say for sure, but he has certainly proven himself very capable of drawing his own conclusions. My idea wasn't an original one. I may have been the first to say it that got some public play, but now others are catching up to it and speaking out about it. All we do know is that a copy was sent to him, and a recent commentary featured a statement by Tucker that was essentially word for word what I'd written 10 years ago this month. That book was released in June of 2010. And let's listen very quickly to the clip here. He's talking about a new book that basically says all whites are racist. And here's Tucker's reaction.
The best-selling book in America last week wasn't anything by J.K. Rowling. It was a tract called White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. It's a hit, and not a small hit. White Fragility has sold so many copies that the paperback edition is out of stock on Amazon. Schools and companies across the country are ordering it in bulk. Deloitte is pushing it, so is NBC and Harvard Business School. The CEO of American Airlines was recently photographed reading the book. This fall, White Fragility is likely to be required reading at your children's school. You may soon be told to study it on a corporate retreat, so it's worth knowing what it is. What's it about exactly? We read the book, and we'll sum it up for you in four words. White people are racist. Not just racist white people. All white people, whether they're 6 years old or 100 years old, all of them are by definition racist. They are racist because they are white. Only white people are racist. No one else is.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever read my book, that is almost word for word how it ends.
That's exactly right, too. You were prescient back then because we realized the way that this whole thing was trending. And this is... there's no doubt about it. If you're a racist, you're a white person. A white person alone can be racist. And, of course, racism is a great sin and a crime for which punishment is merited. That's what they're trying to do. They're going to now justify punishing you. For example, in California, this very week, they have proposed a new law that says that we don't even make a pretense of having equal opportunity for people. Now it is going to be racist to oppose affirmative action. In other words, affirmative action is the new equal opportunity. You're going to have set aside for non-whites for everything good that the society has to offer. That would be positions in medical school, positions in highly selective colleges, universities, and law schools, for top jobs, for government contracts. Of course, basically all they're doing is owning up to the reality we've been living with over the past 40 years, basically, of affirmative action ruling the roost. And I remember back in 1964, when they passed the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which is the source of the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which enforces, supposedly, the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and in 1969, when Alfred Bloom Rosen, guess that ethnicity, folks, came in and decided that affirmative action was going to be the official policy of the EEOC. Now, the left has gotten so bold, they're even admitting it and saying, so what? We think it's virtuous to do it. What's going to happen in the next 20 years or so is that you're going to learn, you're going to get a real tutorial on the difference between a protected versus an unprotected minority. You'll get that when whites become the minority, and Antifa's own papers have said when they reduce the white population to 30% of the general population, then they can go about canceling, as they call it, us. And you let your imagination run wild with that one.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's not going to end with flags and monuments. They're going to come for your flesh and blood. But we were talking about this before the show with regard to that Tucker Carlson clip, and it's good to see. Again, maybe he read the book, maybe he didn't, but it's good to see other people drawing those conclusions no matter how they come to them. Now, even the most benign supporter of the sitting president of the United States is Adolf Hitler. I mean, they are all Nazis. Everybody
and is. Kamala Harris, who is one of the front runners to be Joe Biden's vice president, said this week, all you Trump supporters, if we win, we're coming after you.
They're all racist. They're all white supremacists.
In other words, Joe Sixpack, that doesn't have an idea of what's really going on, that likes Donald Trump.
Some of the things Trump
said.
You know,
and has been photographed in a Make America Great Again hat. You're headed to the gulags, my friend, if the Democrats get in. That's. I don't see how you could make a more explicit, pointed comment about that topic than Kamala Harris did.
Well, and then, you know, that's interesting. There's some irony in that. Make America great again. America is so much worse now than it was 4 years ago. It's almost unfathomable. It's almost impossible to digest it, consider,
you know,
it all.
What Trump does is he, as a baby boomer, I guess, instinctively says the right things, but there's some hidden power back there, folks, and I'll let you guess about what it is that is preventing Trump from translating any of his sentiments and feelings into real government
it's
policy.
It's really what you're talking about, Keith, is the power that Canadians have over us.
Oh, yeah, that Canadian group, you never got to be very wary of them.
Well, look at the Boy Scouts, though, this week. Look at the Boy Scouts. So the Boy Scouts, we may have mentioned this last week, folks. I can't remember. There's so much going on. Everything is so fluid. If we mentioned it last week, we'll mention it again tonight. But the Boy Scouts, now you know that the Boy Scouts have filed bankruptcy. Chuck E. Cheese, by the way, filed bankruptcy this week. Now, I can't imagine why Chuck E. Cheese would have filed bankruptcy.
Chuck E. Cheese should be thriving in this environment because the whole world, every major American city has turned into a Chuck E. Cheese chimp out. And what is, you know, the thing about the Boy Scouts, I guess in their last gasp before they go bankrupt and moribund, is to come out in favor of what?
Okay, here's what happened. So you know that the Boy Scouts some years ago had to allow homosexual scoutmasters, and that was pretty much the end of it all right then. They like Chuck E. Cheese, have already filed for bankruptcy. But just within the last few days, I mean, a week, 2 weeks max, they said in order to become an Eagle Scout, which is like the black belt of the Boy Scouts, in order to become an Eagle Scout, you have to get your merit badge and support of Black Lives Matter. Now, how you actually achieve that merit badge, I mean, who knows? But you have to achieve the Black Lives Matter merit badge in order to become an Eagle Scout. Now,
in other words, you've got to be a racial coward if you're a white kid to get the highest rank in the Boy Scouts.
That's child abuse. I mean, what do these little boys have to do in order to obtain that badge, I wonder? But, you know, the founder of the Boy Scouts, you know, an organization that was to instill principles and discipline and courage and self, all of these wonderful character traits of valor and integrity. I mean, that's all
of traditional masculinity. See, traditional masculinity went out of the window when they decided to let homosexuals become scoutmasters. Now, one of the reasons they're taking bankruptcy is because they have all these sexual abuse scandals.
Well, it's like,
I wonder where that came from.
It's like a friend of mine said this week, though, with regard to the Boy Scouts, when an organization is hell-bent on committing suicide, it should be allowed its wish.
Yeah, there's no stopping them on that. And see, that's what comes of trying to appease the powers on the left. The left is merciless. They're not going to let you escape and get out of this thing alive. they're going to destroy your organization, just like the Boy Scouts have learned. Of course, they probably haven't learned it. They're probably sitting there in the gulag somewhere thinking that somehow if they just make one more concession that all will be right and they'll be restored to their positions of power and authority. They're not. It's all over with, folks. Like that song by Bob Dylan, "It's All Over Now, Baby Blue."
Well, we were talking about Mississippi changing its state flag. That's nothing compared to the state of Rhode Island, which is actually changing its entire state's name to appease the horde. The actual state of Rhode Island, and I think only five people in the world knew about this before this week, and I wasn't one of the five, but the official name of the state of Rhode Island is Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. Well, because the word plantation is in the official state name, the governor has come out there changing
it. Has
some
racial connotation now.
Right. I mean, but nobody knew about it.
Well,
Dixie Chicks are now just the Chicks.
Well, look, they're going to change the name of Rhode Island to the state of We're So Sorry.
They might as well. We'll be right back with Kevin McDonald. We'll get behind the psychology of all this.
The political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.